From Denver, Colorado, the Mutual Network brings you at this time a special transcribed broadcast marking the opening of the biennial convention of the League of Women Voters. The convention will continue through Friday. First, here is Mrs. John G. Lee of Farmington, Connecticut, president of the League. Mrs. Lee.
National Convention of the League of Women Voters of the United States is holding its 21st session in Denver, Colorado. Assembled here are nearly 1,200 women from 48 states, the District of Columbia, Alaska, and Hawaii. The purpose of this convention is to determine the areas of national governmental policy to which the League will give its attention during the next 2 years. The main subjects under consideration are these: United States trade policies directed toward expanding world trade as necessary for the development and stability of the free world, United States policies directed toward full utilization and strengthening of the United Nations as a necessary mechanism for settling international differences and achieving common goals by peaceful means, and the safeguarding of individual liberty as essential to sound representative government in our national security. As we begin serious consideration of these and other subjects, it is fitting that we express to the people of Colorado our sincere appreciation of their warm hospitality. It is a pleasure to do so through a most distinguished citizen, Governor Dan Thornton.
Thank you, Mrs. Lee. It's certainly a pleasure for me as governor of the great state of Colorado to have in our midst the National League of Women Voters of the United States of America. First, let me welcome you to the top of the nation, to the state of mountains and mountain valleys with rushing trout streams. Let me also tell you that we have great natural resources and great beauties in this state, but our greatest resource are the people of Colorado, and I know that you will enjoy them. May I say also that I am grateful to the League of Women Voters on the national and state level. Because of their help, many problems are settled. Because of their help and their interest, we have better citizen participation in state government. Because of their help and interest, we build strong moral and religious fiber that means a stronger state and a stronger nation. Your interest in state government certainly means well for the future of all of the states. Many state problems are settled because you take an interest in them. In my own state, I have firsthand information from the League of Women Voters when it comes to solving or dealing with problems that confront educational institutions, penal institutions, and the institution for the mentally ill and for those of the aged. As long as we have the interest maintained at a high level, such as the members of the League of Women Voters do, this state of ours will be better off, and I know that to be the sentiment of the 47 other governors, and also of the governors of Hawaii and Alaska, because it takes your interest and your help to work these problems out. And actually, that means democracy in action, because with the participation of the members of your league, we do have democracy and participation, and on that basis, democracy will live. So as governor of this state, I not only salute you and compliment you and tell you how proud we are to have you in our state, but I say that America will be better because of the fact that you are working hard for a better America.
Well, most certainly I do. After all, I am told that 52% of the vote on the Republican side in the national election a year and a half ago was cast by women. I am biased, of course, but I think they then made a very useful contribution. So far as the responsibilities of public office are concerned, my position is made clear, I think, by the number of women I have appointed to key posts in the federal government. There were 34 in the first year. The more women of the same caliber we have in government, the better off we'll be.
Mr. President, the League of Women Voters believes the main focus of United States foreign policy should be, first, to strengthen cooperatively the economies of the free nations, and second, to build our defenses into a workable system of collective security within the framework of the United Nations whenever possible. Would you comment on the individual's role in the achievement of these ends?
Well, American foreign policy must be founded on America's understanding of her relationships to the rest of the world, arrived at through widespread study of relevant facts. The results of this study are expressed in the sound public opinion, which is, of course, the real power in a free system. Thus, America becomes essentially unified in support of applicable foreign policy. And only when based on such unity can any foreign policy be successful. Every individual American, within the limits of his ability and influence, can add something to the building of a sound public opinion, to the unity of America. An organization such as the League of Women Voters can multiply the contribution of its individual members by fostering programs and discussion groups that help a community to learn the facts of existence in the world of 1954. In addition to unity at home, we must have mutual understanding among the free peoples. All of us, whether we live in Maine or Kansas or Texas, in Ceylon or Iceland or Turkey, must come to recognize that basically we are all moved by the same human aspirations, the same general purposes, the same determination to live our lives in freedom according to the dictates of conscience, the same desire for a just and lasting peace. Again, every individual, and particularly an organization such as yours, can help increase international understanding. Every time we refuse to be stampeded by a prejudice, every time we correct a falsehood, we are doing something for understanding of others by ourselves. Every time we helped others to learn the truth about America, we move that much closer to international understanding.
Mr. President, in our opinion, the United States has an important stake in the expansion of world trade. Could you tell us what you consider to be the primary considerations in this matter with which the citizens should be concerned?
The first consideration, I think, should be the enlightened self-interest of the United States. When a problem in world trade arises and a solution is proposed, I think we should apply to it this question. Does this solution, regardless of all else, increase the overall strength of our country, or enhance its influence, or strengthen its position of leadership?